Hey, let's talk about the benefits of speaking in tongues, shall we? In John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, it says, "But the hour is coming, and now is here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Hey, have you ever tried buying a gift for somebody who's got everything? Let me ask you. Well, it's sort of tough because they got everything. So, but what about God? Talking about somebody's got everything. God's got everything, made everything. Yet there's one thing he doesn't have, and that's your heart and mind. How many times can you think about in the Bible where God says that he seeks something or he wants something? Not many. And there's one place Jesus says that God seeks people to worship him in spirit and truth. Let me ask you, is that by singing or dancing, lifting up holy hands or giving money, or going on missions or entering a seminary? No, it's by speaking in tongues. Because the speaker doesn't recognize what they're saying, but nonetheless, they are speaking in our tongues the mighty works of God. In Acts 10, 46, it says, "And they heard them speaking in tongues and exalting God." When the Gentiles, Cornelius and his household, first got saved and spoke in tongues, the listeners reported that they exalted God. Hey, do you like it when your children exalt you? Well, so does God. And whoever, you know, 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, "Whoever speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. For no one understands, but the Spirit, he speaks, but by the Spirit, he speaks sacred secrets." So when we speak in tongues, God and the Spirit speak sacred secrets together. Can we immediately understand the information that's going back and forth? No. But I found that sometimes later on in my life, as I look at it, I can understand what God and the Spirit's been talking about because I've got all of a sudden in my revelation, new insight, new direction. It's neat. The Spirit is praying to God. Pretty cool. Nonetheless, God, even though, you know, I don't understand what's going on, God loves the conversation. It's quality time for him with his kids, us. Michelle, I'll bet you like it when you got some times with Eleonora or Gabriel, just chill time, just you and together, like in a car, you know, not both of them together. Both of them is a whole different ballgame. But when you got one kid at one time, I'll bet you that's special to you, isn't it? Well, this is what speaking in tongues is to God. Literally is this. It's quality time with you and with me, with him. That's what speaking in tongues is. It's personal, private, quality time with God. In 1 Corinthians 14:15, it says, "What then? What's to be done? I'll pray with the Spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding also. I'll sing with the Spirit, and I'll sing with the understanding also. Otherwise, if you praise with the Spirit, how will anyone who's learned say amen at your giving of thanks, seeing he does not know what you're saying? For indeed, you're giving thanks very well." When we speak in tongues, we praise God in the Spirit, and we give thanks very well. This is what God seeks, and as we all do, and deserves. As we like for our kids to say, "Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. Thanks for doing what you've done." When our kids praise us, I don't know about you, but it's rare for me to get some praise, to get some thanks. You know, I take my kids on a vacation. I pay three times as much as they do, but I was thankful that they said thanks. And so I loved it when I get recognition that I'm loving and kind and I'm a good dad. And they're thankful for it. And this is what it's like for God, for us. He has designed it so that he gave us a spirit on the new birth. We're body, soul, and spirit. Now we have that spirit. We can utilize that spirit to speak in tongues. And it's perfect praise and prayer to God. It's giving thanks well. It's, you know, something God wants and deserves. In Romans 8, 14 and 15, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption in connection with which you cry out, Abba, Father, or Daddy. When we cry, when we speak in tongues, we're crying out, Daddy, Daddy. In English, for English babies and kids growing up and stuff. You know, I was over at Abby's house the other day, our daughter, and she has a gal watching the kids sometimes, named Ashley. And Ashley's got a little one-year-old baby. I got to see some of her first walking steps the other day. It was neat to see that, you know, so clumsy and so sweet as they do it. But the kid is already talking. And what words do you think the kid says?
Mama.
And what else? Dada. And why do they say,
you know?
That's later. They say mama and daddy because it's so easy to say. Mama, 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 mama. And you get them, you say mama, say mama, say mama. And you make them involved, you know, mama, mama. And the daddy grabs the kid and say, hey, you're wasting the kid's time. They don't want to say that. They want to say dad, 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 dad. And so you teach the kid to say mama, dad. And it's easy to do because it's such simple, you know, some simple form. In Aramaic, their first words are abba, 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 abba. And that's daddy. Like we say dad, 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 dad. They say abba, 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 abba. You understand? Now, in different languages, you have the familiar, the tender, and then you've got the formal. In English, we got daddy. I always call my dad daddy, even when he was 80 and I was 50 or 60, whatever I was. Look at mama and daddy. That's all I call it. People look at me and go, you still call him daddy? I'm like, he's my daddy. What do you want? You know? So it is. But they would, the formal way that you describe them is what? What's a good word for formal? Father. Yeah. That's the formal word, you know. But the personal word that you say when it is daddy. In the same thing is true with Aramaic. Aramaic, the informal, the intimate word is Abba. And then the more formal word is a different one. So that's why God says this in Romans 8, where he says, we cry, Abba, Father. Which when we despise the Spirit, we're speaking to our daddy. That's what this word is. That's what it indicates. That's what's going on. It's us and daddy. Speaking in tongues is like a kid saying his first words. It's that pure. It's that beautiful. It's that heartfelt. It's what we do when we speak in tongues. And when we talk about the benefits of speaking in tongues, the first thing I'm getting is the benefit God gets out of it. It's nice that he's getting something out of it. He's getting perfect prayers. He's getting praise. He's getting people saying his wonderful works. He's getting thanked. You know, and we're talking intimately to him, and he's getting quality time with us. He likes all this stuff. So you see why God likes being worshipped by the Spirit? With our imperfect minds, we may love God, but unfortunately fall short in praise and recognition of his eternal works and magnificence. God's gift, the Spirit, helps us do what we want and he wants. Praise. And this is what the out-of-towners heard on Pentecost. Perfect praise from ordinary men. Not priests, not Levites, not scribes. Or not a fixed liturgy from religious elites reading from a paper or something like that. It's perfect, natural, really supernatural praise from children to their father. It's like, Daddy, Daddy, I love you, Daddy. I love you. That's why God loves this stuff. That's why he seeks such to worship him. In Acts 2, 12, 13, it says, and they were all amazed, the people at Pentecost that heard the apostles, and were perplexed, saying one to another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, these folks are full of new wine. So the outer towners were sharp enough to realize that these Galilean men praising God in languages, they couldn't know those languages. That was a sign from God of something significant. But what significant is going on? And so, you know, Peter told him. Now, some negative Nancys accused the apostles of being drunk. I mean, it's sort of dumb. Alcohol is not going to help you learn foreign languages instantly. It's not going to happen. In fact, it'll help you unlearn your own language.
church.
And you'll say stupid stuff. So that's not at all what's going on. In Acts 2, 14 through 23 says, with Peter standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and spoke to them, saying, fellow Jews, and all you who are residing at Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and pay close attention to my words, for these are not drunk like you think, seeing it's but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken through the prophet Joel, and it will be in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out a portion of my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. All right, guys, you know, Joe, Don, me, we got to, Don, you got to, we got to dream some dreams, okay? And young men, Michael, you got to see visions, we'll dream dreams. And then even on your male servants and on my female servants, I will pour out my days, and they will prophesy. Sharon, you got to do some prophecy, okay? And I'll show and more Joel says, and I will show wonders in the heavens above, signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the great glorious day of the Lord comes. And it will be that whosoever calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man pointed out to you by God, by mighty works and signs and wonders, which God did through him in the midst of you, right in front of your face, just as you yourselves know. This man, delivered up by the decreed plan and foreknowledge of God, you, by lawless hands, you knuckleheads, crucified and killed him. Ooh. Now let's talk about some of the benefits to the speaker of speaking in tongues. Here's the first one we'll talk about. Peter and the apostles were recently behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. You can read about it in the Gospel of John. They were probably mentioned on the front page of the Jerusalem Journal in the story of Judas's suicide. They were being painted as insurrectionists, rebels against the establishment. And let me tell you, they had good reason to be concerned about the threats, because the same religious leaders that governed the temple that day had just engineered Jesus' execution 50 days before. These threats were no bluff. Now, Peter and the 11 were boldly accusing the multitude of Jesus' murder in the temple. Receiving the Holy Spirit transformed these guys and gave them cause to be bold and stand up for Christ. Why? Well, here are some of the ways that the Spirit empowered and benefited them. Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit was given them utterance. Speaking in tongues is direct proof that God's alive, he's real, and he's working directly in your life right now. Many people think of God as the creator who created way back then, in the beginning. They think of him as the original mover, but he's silent now. Speaking in tongues is proof that God is working right now, right here. And when we speak in tongues, it's not as if we're saying, bloop, bloop, bloop. Blah, blah, blah. Clark, oink, bark, moo. We're not making nonsensical sounds or animal sounds. We're making sounds of a language. What language might that be? 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. When someone speaks in tongues, they're speaking in a language of men or angels. The language of men includes all those since the ancient days. If it's a current language, then somebody or some group in the world could understand it. I had a friend once who told me that after Christian fellowship, a person who was attending the fellowship for the first time came up to him and began speaking in an unknown language to him. He stopped the person who was speaking the foreign language, explained that he didn't understand what he was saying. The person speaking in a foreign language switched to English and blurted out, of course you understand Armenian. You were just speaking it and then interpreting it. It took the tongue speaker a few seconds to understand what was happening, but when he did, he was overjoyed. He jumped around going, I speak Armenian, I speak Armenian. He told everybody. It wasn't long before he asked the question that everyone who speaks in tongues and interprets wants to ask. He said, well, what did I say? The native Armenian speaker looked at him with bewilderment and replied, what do you mean? You said what you said in Armenian, and then you said the same thing in English. The Armenian speaker was convinced that the tongue speaker was lying. He says to him, how can you speak Armenian so beautifully and then say you don't know it? Well, how indeed? The Spirit was giving the utterance. That we speak, whose business? Our business. What we speak, God's business. There's no other explanation to this. It's proof in the physical world of the internal reality and of the Holy Spirit. That it's working in us. Proof that God not only was way back then, but also is at work right here, right now, as we trust him. Look, the world grinds us down, just like in the apostles' time. It definitely does. Speaking in tongues help them overcome, and it helps us overcome too. In 1 Corinthians 14:4, it says, whosoever speaks in a tongue edifies himself, builds himself up. The world tears you down. Speaking in tongues is one of the things that can build us back up, correct the damage, and bring us past it of living in this crazy world. Jude 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. There's nothing like knowing that God's at work in you, here and now. He's not the God of the past or someday, but of now. He's not the God in the temple or at Jerusalem or high above the stratosphere. He's the God who's right here where we are. He's helping here and now us speak in a language we don't know. God's here. Not somewhere else. He's here. He's with us. He's in us. He's working with us. We move our lips, our tongue, our mouth. We make the sound. He meets us there. We move. We activate. He energizes. Just like that. Romans 8:15 and 16 says, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption. In connection with, we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Daddy. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. When we speak in tongues and spiritually cry out, Daddy, 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 it's the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You know, so many people in the world want proof of God's existence and the truth of Christianity. Well, the proof's right there in front of us and inside us. We can speak in a language we don't know at will, anytime. This is a witness, and a witness is a first-person testimony to the truth of something. In a courtroom, witnesses are the highest form of proof, and we carry the witness with us everywhere we go. We can speak in tongues wherever we go. It's the proof to us that this is, you know, that's what verse 16 says. Proof of what? That we're children of God. We're not some intellectual concept of association with God. You know, guys say, you know, I'm mystically all of the same substance with God. Speaking in tongues is a witness that we're born again of God's Spirit, of incorruptible seed. We are literally God's children. How do we know? Because there's something in us, bigger than us, stronger than us, beyond our abilities. It's something that can help us speak in a foreign language so that we can also interpret, prophesy, get revelation, everything. This is not conceptual. It's not theoretical. It's actual. It happens here and now when we speak in tongues. Does that build you up? Boy, howdy, I'm telling you. You know, we feel like we can take on the world because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we have proof of it in the senses realm. We can do something that's impossible to do, speak in a foreign language. The wonderful works of God, praising God, loving God. It's just amazing. It's proof that there's in us something bigger than us. Fantastic. Romans 8:17 says, and if children, then heirs. On the one hand, heirs of God, and on the other hand, co-heirs with Christ. Since indeed we share in his sufferings, we shall also share in his glory. This verse is absolute gold. It could be meditated almost every day because of how much truth is in it. We are heirs of God. Think about it. Heirs of God. What if you were heir of a multimillionaire? What would that mean you'd stand to inherit? Multi-millions. What if you're the heir of Bill Gates? He'd find a way to disinherit you. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, if you were that an heir of a multimillionaire, how would you act? How would you think? Well, God is our father. Therefore, we're heirs of him. Isn't that something? And we're joined. What's that? Oh, that's true. Billions. Yeah. We're joint heirs with Christ. What he got, we got. I know it sounds stupid, sounds blasphemous, it sounds presumptuous, but this is what the word says. We are joint heirs with Christ. And speaking in tongues get you to the place where you look at yourself and I got to pinch myself. I got to make myself think this way, that I'm a joint heir with the Son of God. This is the Bible says this, that we share in Christ's glory. This is what the Bible says. It's almost too good to be true, but it's absolutely true. Speaking in tongues helps us solidify these truths in our hearts and our practical lives. It builds our confidence as we experience the Spirit's witness. Let's talk about the benefits to others when we speak in tongues. Besides speaking in tongues benefiting God and the speaker of the tongues, it also benefits others, just like it did on Pentecost. In 1 Corinthians 14:22, it says, "So then tongues is a sign, not to those who believe, but to the unbelieving." When the out-of-towners saw and heard the apostles speak in tongues, there is no doubt in their minds that the supernatural was at work. They knew God was behind it. But what did it mean? Of course, Peter answered that question in his preaching. Now, 1 Corinthians 14:5 says, "Now I want all of you to speak in tongues, and even more that you'd prophesy. For greater is the one who prophesied than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church is built up." When we speak in tongues around other saints, God wants us to interpret it so that others can be built up. If we speak in tongues without interpretation, most probably the others present have no idea what's being said. The speaker is built up spiritually, but his understanding is unfruitful, as also is the listener. Unless the speaker interprets so that the church, the others present, can be built up in their minds. The interpretation of tongues brings forth a message of what was said that edifies, exhorts, and comforts the hearers. Because God is in control of the content of the tongues, he can adjust it from praise to prayer. Tongues with interpretation is sort of a twofer. It reminds us of God's power, presence, and what we have within, and it builds up the hearers regarding God's involvement in the here and now with tongues with interpretation. It's a twofer. The speaker gets blessed, the hearers get blessed. Acts 10:44-47 says, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit rushed unto all those who listened to his word, and the believers from the circumcision were amazed, all those who came from Peter, because on the Gentiles also the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out, for they heard them speak in tongues and exalting God. Then answered Peter, 'Surely no one's able to refuse water and insist that those should not be baptized, those that have received the Holy Spirit just as we have.'" Speaking in tongues is proof to the speaker and to the hearer of the truth that the speaker has been born again. Peter and the Jewish saints from Jerusalem had no love for Gentiles in Caesarea or anywhere else. As we can read, God had to give Peter all kinds of guidance and repeated guidance to get him to go visit them in Joppa. Although respectful, Peter preached, he never expected the reaction to the gospel message that he saw. The Cornelius and his household and the other people that were there, they spoke in tongues. Dirty, tattooed Roman soldiers spoke in tongues. It was unbelievable to Peter and the other Jewish thinkers. To them, it was almost like dogs talking. You understand? Totally fried their mind. And that's why they realized, well, they're saved. As soon as I heard them speaking tongues, there's no doubt, they're safe. The only way the lights go on in the car is if there's a battery inside. You understand? The horn doesn't honk if there's no battery. And the person doesn't speak in tongues unless they get the spirit that manifests itself out by the manifestation. So what was the unquestionable proof that the Gentiles were born again? Was it baptism? Was it lifting holy hands or any kind of emotional outpouring? No, they're speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is not counterfeitable. I've seen people speaking strangely by an unholy spirit. I've seen that before. And it's as different from genuine speaking tongues as day and night. Genuine tongues are characterized by the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22, 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. People speaking by unholy spirit are characterized by one word, weird. The only thing, you know about it instantly, because it's weird. The people are weird, their speaking is weird, you can see them, that they're weird. The only things in common are the words people and talking, that's it. Everything else is a contrast in good and evil, free will and oppression, light and darkness. Cornelius and the Gentiles spoke in tongues. There was no doubt to Peter or to the Jews. The hardcore circumcision had to finally admit in Acts 11, 18, then God hath granted repentance to everlasting life to the Gentiles also. They had to admit right there on the spot. They're looking right in the eyes. They're speaking in tongues. They got the Spirit. They have eternal life. Speaking in tongues also helps our prayer life for ourselves and others. That's why in Ephesians 6:18 it says, be praying at all times in the Spirit with all kinds of prayer and petition. And to that end, be watchful with all perseverance and petition for all the holy ones. We can speak in tongues and hold in our mind the mind picture and lift to God of other people and speak in tongues while we're doing it. And as you're doing it, I don't know how it works, but you pray for these people. The Spirit prays for yourself. The Spirit can also pray for others. This is just how it works. That's why the Apostle Paul says, you know, pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers and petitions. And to that end, be watchful with all perseverance and petitions for all the holy ones. You praying in the Spirit. We can pray with our understanding. You will see in 1 Corinthians 14, and we can pray by the Spirit. Two different sources, both of them go to God. And God says, do it both ways. Great. When we petition God for ourselves and others, God encourages us to pray in the Spirit. We picture God blessing us and others while the Spirit within reaches out to God on our behalf. So, let me ask you, do you speak in tongues? God wants you to. 1 Corinthians 14:5 says, now I want you, all of you, to speak in tongues. And if you haven't spoken in tongues yet, please get with someone who does speak in tongues so that they can help you get in the blessing. Don't take no for an answer or give in to fear. The devil tries incredibly hard to get everybody afraid of speaking in tongues. Comes up with more dumb reasons why they shouldn't speak in tongues than you can shake a stick at. We're going to deal with some of them as in the future sharings and stuff. But don't get missed. You can read the whole Bible. There is nothing, N-O-T-H-I-N-G, nothing negative said about speaking in tongues in the Bible. Nothing. It is all good, as the kids say, in the hood. Okay? It's all good. Speaking in tongues blesses God, it blesses you, and it blesses others if you use it correctly and pray for others and stuff, and also interpret. Speaking in tongues is phenomenal. It's wonderful. It was literally the first thing that the church did when it was born. That tells you all you need to know. It's wonderful. And this whole idea that there's no speaking in tongues now because it died with the apostles is absolute garbage. And we'll get to that too. It is a wonderful thing. Don't allow anyone to talk you out of it. So find someone who knows how to speak in tongues and have them lead you into it. Or you can call me, and I will be happy to do it. Bless God, yourself, and others by speaking in tongues today, and God won't give you a stone because he's a faithful and a loving Father. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.